And now Sheets as well. And Sheets hits that one in the air straight away center field and deep. Did he do it again? Unbelievable! Four straight days with a home run for Gavin Sheets. This one off the batter's eye against his old team. And the Padres ahead for the first time today. It's 5-4.
There you go. Gavin Sheets going yard for the fourth time in the past four games. It's a pretty good time for him to actually, you know, turn it up because the roster is going to be formed here pretty soon, and they are looking for that last bench spot. Gavin Sheets going yard four straight days. I'm Matt Scraby. This is Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Tony Gwynn Jr. will join us after that game is over. Chris Ello is off to Aztecs women's basketball. But like he said before he left that, we have a ton of stuff going forward for you all. And actually, I think I finally figured out, you know, if you're a YouTube watcher, and if you don't know, you can watch us on YouTube. Just search 97.3 The Fan on YouTube, and you can find the show and all of the shows. But if you are a YouTube watcher, I'm going to try and use the video that we did as well, because it's not been easy. So I'm trying to, you know, make each audience happy. The people in the car and the people on the YouTube. So we're doing things over here on Gwynn and Chris. The one thing I want to remind you before, because we don't really have anything in the Daily Gambit, and that would be that we have the bracket signup. The March Madness bracket signup is going on right now. If you go to 973thefansd.com, you need to go and click the signup link. It's also on Twitter, 973thefansd. All you need to do is click the link that says that it will send you into signing up for the bracket challenge. And then there's a form on there. You have to fill out the form. There's no prize involved, nothing like that, because, you know, it would make it so that we can't do this due to legality and all that. But since there's no prize involved, we can have as many people play and as many people sign up as we want. And the reason we're asking for your info is because we did this for the Eliminator Challenge and it was hard to get in contact with the winner. So we want to make sure that we can get in contact with everybody. But again, go to 973thefansd.com. You'll see the blog post. You'll also see a link on 973thefansd on Twitter as well. Dylan Cease started today for the Padres against the White Sox, and it didn't go great, but as we said earlier, Dylan Cease is working on something, and he's working on a few pitches, and this was just actually added to our Twitter feed, and it's Dylan Cease talking to the media after his start today. Now, he's going to give his thoughts on his two-seam fastball he's working on, also his new changeup, and I guess someone's going to ask him about the trade that brought him to San Diego almost a year ago today. But Dylan Cease, so far through spring training, if you're looking for good numbers, you're not really going to find amazing numbers. But he is. He told us at FanFest that he was working on some new pitches, and he's going to continue working on those pitches to the point where he can be comfortable throwing them in a real live regular season game. And so that's why I'm not too worried about the numbers from Dylan Cease. He's going to figure it out every year. You know, Dylan Cease, we know what he's going to give us. And Dylan Cease last year, up and down, we know that. But it was still, for the most part, very good. And I think all of us will take Dylan Cease, even if his spring numbers aren't very good. But throughout his career, he has a 3.75 ERA, which he was 3.47 last year. And he has a strikeout per nine at 10.8. So that's what we're going to get from Dylan Cease. We're going to get strikeouts, and sometimes he's going to give up some runs. So Dylan Cease, I'm not too worried about his numbers, but here is what he told the media after his start today.
Imagine there's aspects you're pleased of, like coming back and getting your work done.
Yeah, got my pitches in, threw everything, you know, came back from some adversity. It's good, part of spring training, really, to be honest.
Forgive me for not knowing.
Yeah.
The two-seamer today.
Yeah.
How'd it go?
It was good. They didn't have a lot of righties in there, so I only threw it a couple of times, but I got a foul ball and I think maybe a take on it. Didn't throw it a whole lot, but yeah, it's been good.
About what you expect during the season, too. I mean, it's like a pitch to show them
It's going to be used more to righty. It's not really going to be used to lefty. So, yeah.
But you might throw it a lot if they're righty heavy. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it also depends how they're seeing it and how they're playing. You know, it's played well in spring so far, but just have to keep an eye on it.
What about the newer changeup?
Yeah, it's I'm doing a pretty good job throwing it for strikes. Today I left it up a little bit, but when I'm in the zone with it, it's pretty good. Definitely helps out against lefties.
That's the last pitch to Gallo, right?
Change up. Yep.
Was that where you wanted it?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it was a little up, but I got it outer half, which is really what the most important part for me.
It's been almost a year now since that trade. How do you, with the year of hindsight, how do you kind of reflect on it?
I don't really think about it anymore. I'm just focused on what I'm doing here. You know, every year I gotta get back into shape and back into form. So that's really my focus is that more than anything.
There's Dylan Cease. Now, it doesn't seem like it just seems like he's having a conversation with a friend, you know, getting home from work or something like that. But I also wonder if, because AJ Casabella's question at the end about his trade to San Diego a year later, I think it's a good question, but I wonder if players ever get annoyed that we ask those questions. Because, I mean, we want to know, and I didn't expect Dylan Cease to give some huge, profound answer about it, but I think it's interesting. I mean, his whole life was turned upside down about a year ago for a good thing. I mean, he was with the White Sox, about to embark on what turned out to be an incredibly terrible season for the White Sox, and then he's all of a sudden traded to the Padres, and he's got to get his passport, and now he's going to Korea. I mean, that's the kind of a crazy thing. And I think Dylan Cease's personality, as you can see there, he doesn't get too high. And it doesn't seem like he gets too low either. So that was the perfect personality for it. I think last year when he got traded to the Padres, he didn't know where his passport was. And he has to... He didn't know where his passport was, so he had to go back. He had to find it, and he ended up finding it. But he said it was extremely stressful for Dylan Cease, which I completely understand. But with all the trade talk going around, this is something we also asked him at FanFest, which was, hey, how is it to pitch with all the different trade rumors swirling around your name and get ready for a season with all of this? And he says, you know, it's part of the business, but he really wants to be here. And I really want him to stay here, and I really want to see this changeup work out. Now, I think it's called like an arm speed changeup because everybody is now naming their pitches something different. But it's an arm speed changeup. I guess he had what they called a Bugs Bunny changeup, which was like one of the slowest pitches in Major League Baseball. But this new changeup is around, you know, low 80s. It's more of a traditional changeup, and it's something different from Dylan Cease. So if he could get that working, it's going to open up a lot for Dylan Cease. And he's never really been a changeup guy. It was Dylan Cease. He threw like one changeup in his career coming into this to the last season. And we asked him about it, and he absolutely remembered that one changeup. And he said it was basically because the time was running out, and he just threw a pitch. And it registered as a changeup. But anyway, Dylan Cease starts today. Didn't have the greatest day on the mound, but he's still working on stuff. Right now, the game, bottom of the seventh, 5-5, Padres and White Sox. Now, Gavin Sheets, with his fourth homer in 4 days, he's really putting his best foot forward into getting a roster spot. I clicked on the highlight on Twitter of getting or hitting his fourth home run, and I saw all the comments. And what I don't understand is why sometimes fans tell me that I'm wrong, I'm off base, which is fine. I don't care if you tell me I'm wrong and off base as long as you're respectful about it. But they tell me they're wrong and off base, but then you have all the fans going, oh, he's on the team. Give this guy a roster spot. Did anybody think that when he was hitting 190 throughout spring training? And I'm not trying to like come down on anyone, but just because he hits four home runs doesn't make him a guy who's going to automatically make the roster. Gavin Sheets, his batting average is up to .242 now, so he's starting to hit. But he didn't hit for the first 2 weeks of spring training. Yeah, four homers in 4 days is quite impressive, I have to say. But it's not it's not exactly going to erase everything that has happened so far in spring training. Now, can he make the roster? Yeah, he absolutely can make the roster. And with four home runs in the last 4 days, that definitely helps. But up until he started hitting these home runs, he was hitting 125 on after the game against the Rangers on March 6th. 125 with an OPS of 368. Now, his average is up to 242, and his OPS is up to 667, but I don't know that these four home runs are going to be enough to put him on the roster right at this moment, but it certainly doesn't hurt at all. I really think that they're going to... I haven't done my roster projection because that's kind of Chris's job on the show, but if Gavin Sheets keeps it up, and no, he's not going to hit 7 home runs in the next 7 days or 8 home runs in the next 8 days. If he keeps it up, he's going to make the coaching staff have a long conversation about him on the roster. And if he keeps it up, I mean, that's a DH right there. And then you have other questions like, where is Luis Arraez going to play? And I want to play you a little bit later. I think actually at 4 p.m., I'm going to play you what Mike Schilt said about Jake Cronenworth playing first, which then adds a whole nother series of questions. But these questions are all good questions because it's not like we're talking about trying to find someone. They're trying to find the right, they're trying to get the right formula, and they already have all the pieces that they need. So it's a good problem to have, but we're going to have to see how guys like Gavin Sheets and Ornelas and Eggy Rosario, how they finish, Oscar Gonzalez, how they finish, because it's going to make a difficult decision for coaching staff in the front office and all of that. All right. I'm Matt Scraby. This is Gwynn and Chris. Chris will be back here shortly. I was trying to see what time it was. It's 3:13, everybody, if you're wondering. But when we get back, Chris is going to rejoin me. We also have Padres Pen Pals at the end of the hour. But Chris was very excited about NFL news, and he was very excited to basically give me a hard time about how my 49ers have basically gutted the entire team. So you'll hear that when we get back here on 97.3 The Fan. Traffic a little bit later in the commercial break.
I don't know why, but of all of the little intro music beds that Scraby plays, I find this one to be quite relaxing.
It's a new one. It's
turn it up a little bit. It's great. Yeah.
It's actually...
Doesn't it sound like you're kind of relaxing on a beach somewhere and just the sun setting? And
I can actually... this is a song by Gangstar. I used to be really into... This is going to be random, Chris. I used to be really into snowboarding videos with my friends. We would watch all the snowboarding videos.
Yes, that's...
And... this song was in it, and so I downloaded like basically every Gangstar out there.
That's a good song. It's a good song. It's very relaxing. It doesn't necessarily get us ready for this segment because this is going to be a hard-hitting segment, one in which Matt Scraby will be incredibly defensive. So I just want to warn you about
that. You
have
no idea what I'm
going
to be like.
Yeah, I don't, but I have a feel. Well, let's put it this way. You may not be defensive, but you're going to be loud one way or another.
Loud is okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Right, because
that's fair.
We are going to talk here for the next few minutes about everything that's happened in NFL free agency. And it has been wild for the first, how many hours, Scrape? 48 hours?
It's been crazy. There's been so
much
movement.
I mean, it hasn't been very long. We could just regurgitate all of the moves that have been made.
No one wants that.
Yeah, exactly. That would just take up the entire segment. I mean, there have already been 25 players at least, maybe more.
I listed them yesterday, so we're good.
Right. We don't need to do that. But the one thing that is standing out to me above all else in free agency, maybe not more, the quarterbacks is a big deal. You know, you see Darnold go here and Daniel Jones, we'll talk about him later, going to Indianapolis today. And the Darnold thing is crazy to me. He's making $30 million, and everybody says he's an idiot because he should have held out for a lot more.
No, I think he's smart.
I don't know. $30 million. I'm
okay
with
money.
That, if I'm Darnold.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got the quarterbacks moving around here and there. But the biggest deal to me, Scraby, maybe it's because I work with you, is the fact that the 49ers roster has been completely purged. There is hardly anyone left. I mean, when Brock Purdy, well, first of all, who is he going to even take the ball from?
No one knows.
When they hike it.
No one knows.
And then he's going to hand it to Christian McCaffrey, who's going to be immediately tackled 9 yards behind the line. Because there is no line.
No, you know what? Christian McCaffrey's going to play center. It's going to be like flag football where he has to count five.
Center eligible?
Center eligible.
Yeah, Christian will center it and he'll go out. The 49ers have been completely purged. I did see somebody today say, an NFL insider on TV, and maybe they were just trying to, you know, give a different take on it. They were saying, oh, this is a really good, smart thing that really good, strong organizations do. They get rid of guys before their time is up. They don't spend a lot of extra money on guys.
That's the truth.
And they retool their roster with all the extra money they save. But having said that, I don't see how the 49ers, as of March the 11th, can be possibly any better than what they were was last year, which was a last place team. I mean, you can't get rid of Hufanga and Greenlaw.
Here's the thing.
Okay, go.
Hufanga hurt when he went to the Broncos. But Hufanga hasn't played much the last 2 years. He's been very injured. But when he's in there, he's great. Now, Dre Greenlaw going to the Broncos hit me right in the heart. And I read it in passing on the air yesterday, and it hit me in the heart, Chris. I was like, no! But I also been reading a lot from San Francisco media, and Dre Greenlaw is coming off a major injury, and then he tried to come back a little bit too early. Maybe it's not the worst thing in the world that they're letting him go explore other places. But I think whoever said that, Chris, about strong organizations doing this, they're right. And I'm not saying the 49ers are a strong organization, but you have to get out of these contracts and you have to turn your back on guys before they're not good anymore, because then you're stuck. And as much as the 49ers look like they are doing nothing and they're just going to be a 1-16 team next year, I trust John Lynch and I trust Kyle Shanahan. It's just a lot to handle right now. I mean, Javon Hargrave is also gone. There's just so many guys. 11 of the 22 starters from the Super Bowl 2 years ago are no longer on the team, Chris. 2 years ago.
Yeah, but that is this day and age in football. You know, I'm sorry. I mean, I'll tell you, the guy who said it was Ian Rappaport. I actually think he's pretty close to being right as well. You have to take these kinds of hits in free agency in order to keep your team strong. Because there's only a certain amount of money you have to spend. And especially when you have a Super Bowl team, guys become too expensive.
That's true. That is true.
So, look, the 49ers are going to still have, you know, some great players. And I'm sure they'll do. But the sticker shock of losing Hufanga and Greenlaw and Debo and Hargrave and Juszczyk.
Oh, Juszczyk is another one, Chris. He's been on the team forever. Juszczyk is like... he's like the soul of the 49ers.
Well, I mean, you got Aaron Banks, you got Moore, you got Ward.
I forgot about Tarvarius Ward. Chris, I can't do this anymore.
I told you.
The entire defense is gutted. And they're going after Joey Bosa. No! Why?
The entire defense has been gutted.
Why are you going after Joey Bosa? He's going to play 6 games this year.
I just want to tell you something, that when we get around to August, I'm going to remember what you said, because I will pick the 49ers last, and I will cite your quote as my reason for picking them last, that the entire defense has been gutted.
It's Fred Warner. I mean, they got a couple guys like Mustafa, who's a second-year guy, but, I mean, this has been a hard couple days as a 49er fan to see all of the mainstays that have been with you for a while get dropped to the curb.
Well, this is the, you know, the state of sports in this day and age. You're not going to keep teams together forever.
Yeah.
And that just, you know, look, the Chiefs are losing guys right and left. They're doing a good job of replacing them.
Yep.
The Eagles have already lost, I think, five starters from the Super Bowl defense themselves.
Yep.
Right?
So, I mean, they've lost a couple, yeah.
Yeah, these guys haven't even got their ring sized yet, and they're already, you know, on other teams. So, you know, this is the way it goes, and it all depends on which teams come together the quickest. And the funny thing is, again, you know, writers who cover the NFL, people who talk about the NFL, I think they overreact to free agent signings. And they always look at the team that spent the most money as the team that's going to be the most improved. And you know what? It hardly ever happens. It hardly ever happens. You know what teams stay good in the NFL year after year, Scraby?
Who's that? What's
the teams that have franchise quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They stay good year after year.
Yeah.
The other teams just keep trading all of these free agents to each other and remain below the top level.
Yeah.
That's all that happens. I mean, I can use the Dolphins as an example because I know them the best, but look, they let Javon Holland go, who's a pretty good safety. And then they get Melifonwu from Detroit, who's a pretty good safety
to take
his place.
Excuse me, did you just sneeze?
Melifonwu, you know that guy?
Yes, I do.
It's a tough name, but yes, I do. Gesundheit. But you know what I mean? So they lose a free agent, they get a free agent. They're pretty much the same team before and after the move. And so, look, you keep your star players, they're going to keep you afloat. And you fill in with the rest, but the 49ers, this might be too much to overcome, you know, for them at least for a year or so. This is a lot.
They better hit on the draft. That's all I got to say. Hit on the draft.
But even if you hit on the draft, how many draft guys come in and make that big of a difference right away?
Two or three?
Yeah.
I want to ask you about this. Najee Harris went from the Steelers to the Chargers reportedly. But yeah. This is what surprised me. He signed for one year, $9.5 million. And I feel like this is extremely risky for him because he's a running back. And running backs get hurt. Najee Harris is a durable guy. But I find this a little interesting.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't get a multi-year offer somewhere. And it would seem to me it'd be smarter to take the multi-year offer. However, none of the contracts in the NFL are guaranteed anyway, are they?
Unless they give you the guaranteed
money. Unless they give you some guaranteed money up front. So if you sign a three-year deal at $7 million a year, you may get cut after the first year and only make $7
million. That's true.
So maybe he's thinking, I'll make the $9 million in 1 year and then I'll go find another place to play.
Maybe.
I think Najee Harris is a really good signing for the Chargers. I mean, I think he's a really, really good back, receiving and running. And we all know that as talented as he is, J.K. Dobbins cannot make it through a whole season.
Yeah.
So this was a very good signing for the Chargers, which is different than the one signing that the Dolphins made. I did want to just touch
I can't remember who it was, honestly.
Zach Wilson.
What are they doing?
Right?
He's going to have to play because Tua can't make it through a season either.
Right. So you signed Zach Wilson. The guy was in your own division. He was so bad that when he played against you 2 years ago, the Dolphins shut the Jets out, I think, in both games. Like, he couldn't even complete a pass against you. And now you're going to turn to him to give you four or five credible games, which you're going to need and replace a Tua. That's just stupidity. Just stupidity. And, you know, this is another reason that the good franchises stay good and the bad ones stay bad.
You know, I think it's time for me to let go of my optimism for Zach Wilson to figure it out. I think he has all the tools, Chris. He's got the arm. He's got the size. He's got the speed. I don't think he's got the makeup in the mind because obviously something is holding him back, and I'm starting to look bad that I.
I'll tell you what I think that's holding Zach Wilson back. It's just extreme, utter arrogance.
I don't know enough about him to say that, but
I think you get guys like him who come into the league. They're the second overall pick. They go to New York City, and they're told that they're the greatest thing ever to play, and. When you get to the NFL, you have to work. And if you're not willing to work, then all the talent in the world is going to leave you right where Zach Wilson is, which is on the bench.
Yeah. 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 Can't argue with that, Chris. Can't argue with that.
Anyway, the NFL free agency has been crazy. It'll continue to be, I'm sure, for the next few days. Hopefully the 49ers will be able to keep their team colors, Scraby, before they sell those off to somebody else.
They're probably going to. They're going to be some shade of red that's named after some company that's sponsoring it.
Scraby's upset, and we love
it. It's been a long couple days for the 49er fans.
I hear you, man. I get it. I totally get it. All right.
Well, I think you're enjoying it a little too much, though.
I sound too happy?
Yeah, it's okay, though.
Okay,
I understand
well, if
it.
I sound happy, what was your reaction when I reminded you that Zach Wilson signed with the Dolphins?
I laughed.
You seemed pretty happy about that as well.
I laughed.
Yes, you did. All right, we get the bottom of the hour. We'll take a break here. Much more Gwynn and Chris is coming.
PPP!
Tony will be joining the show soon. PPP is coming up next. Stick around. We got a good one for you on 97.3 The Fan.
One of the videos that I show during the commercial breaks on YouTube is a video that we made years ago. I'm not sure if we talked about this yesterday. I don't think we talked about this specific video, but it was of Tony seeing his dad's plaque in Cooperstown for the first time in his life. That was the first time he was able to make it back to Cooperstown. And, you know, it leaves us all with a little bit of dust in our eyes as we watch the video. And there's one cool part where these kids come up to him. And he's kind of looking at it, and they're like, "Oh, is that your dad?" And he's like, "Yep, that's my dad." And it was a pretty fun trip, I have to say. Didn't expect to have it happen, but it was a fun trip. Got to meet Ricky Henderson during that trip, so that was fun too. Even though Ricky turned me down for an interview, and then Tony's mom told him he would be doing the interview because she was sitting with him. I had no idea that it was Tony's mom, but it's a hilarious story. I walk up to him and I say, "Hey, my radio show is here. Tony Gwynn Jr. is downstairs. Do you want to do an interview?" And he's sitting with two other women, Ricky Henderson. And I didn't know who they were. I assumed one of them was his wife, and it was. And so he goes, "Oh, what show are you with?" I'm like, "Gwynn and Chris." And then Tony's mom looks up and says, "Oh, you're going to go on my son's show." And the wife looks at Ricky Henderson and says, "You're going to go on her son's show." And then he kind of looked at me like, "Ugh, fine." Got up and walked down. It was hilarious. It was really fun. But that was the one time I got to meet Ricky Henderson from Cooperstown. All right. We have a Padres pen pals ahead. And we also have traffic. So if you're waiting for the traffic report, here it is, and then Padres pen pals.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute.
Aww.
Padres pen pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now on 97.3 The Fan.
You know what's kind of unfortunate, Chris, is I used the carrier pigeon joke on one of my friends the other day, and they didn't understand it. They literally didn't understand it. I'm like, you talking about?
Yeah, I barely understand it, frankly. I mean, I know you think that I was there for the carrier pigeons, but I really wasn't. For those who don't understand, they honestly used to tie secret notes to the legs of pigeons.
Yes.
In wartime.
Yes.
And send these pigeons off into sailing off into the distance to deliver messages with the notes tied to their feet. Who trained the pigeons?
The pigeon trainers that the military hired to train the pigeons.
Yeah. That's incredible that there was actually somebody who could say, okay, fly from Berlin to Munich. I mean, that's a long flight.
It is.
Come on.
I need to do some more research on carrier pigeons.
Do a little research and come back.
You know, the carrier pigeons, I don't know if they got some sort of award for their wartime service, but honestly, they deserve it because they helped us a lot during the war.
Sounds like they deserve it, yes.
All right.
So I take it as a great compliment.
Yes.
When you say that I know about carrier pigeons.
I lost my mind, though. My friend was like, what does that mean? Yeah. What do you mean? What does it mean? It's a common knowledge thing. Okay. If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. Here is number one on the Padres Pen Pals. Chris, you're up first. I am not blaming the San Diego media for this, but it seems like any time a team is in need of starting pitching, the national media offers up all the Padres that I want to keep. It's annoying, and I'm really tired of the national media trying to sell off the Padres at any point. So, Chris, does it anger you the Padres keep coming up as the trade partner?
No, it's the exact opposite, people. Come on. I mean, nobody's offering up any trade partners from the, you know, the Colorado Rockies or the, you know, some of these other squads out there.
The White Sox. Well, no, the White Sox have some good players.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean. No, and Padres have good pitchers. And the Padres are, look, understand what you don't want to understand if you're asking this question. And what you don't want to understand is that no matter what anybody says, the Padres are a, quote, smaller market team. And also understand that the Padres have a higher than most teams' salary.
Mm-hmm.
Padres are what? Sixth or seventh in salary last year, Scrabe? They're way up there.
They might even be in the top five.
Might have been higher, right? So when you've got small market team plus large salaries, which the Padres have, those players are the first ones that media people who, don't forget, have to write something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like when the Yankees lose Gerrit Cole, which they did.
Yep.
Everybody's got to look around baseball and go, okay, who are the big bad Yankees going to go out and steal from some other team? The Padres are a perfect team for writers to, you know, hone in on.
Bully.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah, they're not bullying us. I mean, look, AJ, you think AJ Preller looks at these articles and goes, oh, wow.
No.
They think I should trade Dylan Cease. I better hurry up and try to trade him.
I actually think they see this news and they all laugh about it together because of how far off base it is.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. So, I would take it, honestly, as a compliment, really. The Padres have really good pitchers, Michael King, Dylan Cease, that are young. They make some money, and, you know, maybe they make a little too much money for what people think the Padres can afford. And basically, that's a compliment to the Padres organization that they have these players.
Yep, I agree. Does it make me angry? No, it's annoying, yes, very annoying, but... Chris said it right. I mean, they could either talk about your team or not talk about your team. And everybody wants to talk about the Padres. And so that's kind of fun. I understand in the context of trading away superstars, it's not as fun. But like Chris said, people want your player, and you should be happy about that. So
remember my old saying, Scraby?
Water finds its level?
No, that's... You know what? I've thrown that one away for a while, ever since
Because water never found its level.
No, that 2023 season, that never happened. No, one of my old favorite sayings about people who hated the Dallas Cowboys and people who hate your 49ers and people who hate the Yankees, nobody hates the Falcons. That was my old saying.
That's true.
And the reason is because the Falcons aren't worth hating.
Sorry, Adam. They aren't worth hating at all. All right. So, man, that pencil's really loud that time.
Yeah.
I've heard Luis Arraez say this offseason he doesn't just want a DH. He wants to play defense as well. With the signing of Jose Iglesias, it looks like Arraez may be the first man out of a defensive position. He seems like a guy who needs to play both sides to really bring out the best in him. I'm up first. How do the Padres keep Arraez happy during the season? Now, I'm assuming this person thinks that Jake Cronenworth is going to go to first, and then Jose Iglesias is going to be at second. But I heard Mike Schilt say earlier in the day, and we played the audio, that Jake Cronenworth is not going to play much first base this year. So I don't know what to think, but how do they keep Luis Arraez happy? Just keep him in the lineup. Do what you can defensively. See if he, you know, ask him, do you want to play more? Do you want to play less? Just cater to him. That's how you make Luis Arraez happy. Chris?
Well, here's, you know, people that are asking this question are assuming that Jose Iglesias is not only going to be the starter on opening day, But then he's going to play 162 games this year.
He only played 85 last year, I believe.
Right. And Jake Cronenworth is going to play 162 games at first base, which means Arai is going to be the DH full-time. That's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. There's nothing wrong with having Jose Iglesias on this team. He can come in the fifth or sixth inning, seventh inning of close games and play defense, and you can move Cronenworth to first late in a ball game and have a better defensive lineup. But for the most part, Arise is going to play first base. He's going to start. The other thing, especially against right-handed pitching, Iglesias is a right-handed hitter. I don't think they'll use him as much against righties. I think that Iglesias will be more of a platoon-type player in a starting role and then a full-time defensive replacement late in games that the Padres are winning.
Hmm.
And that leaves plenty of time for Luis Arraez to play first base. So I think this is much ado about nothing. You know, we look at the team based on the opening day lineup. But the organization, they look at the team based on getting through 162 games. And as we saw last year and every year before that, it takes far more than the opening roster 26 players to get through a whole season.
It does. You're right. All right. That was a good one. Let's go to the next one. I'm looking at all the different predictions for the season, and mostly the National League West is predicted to finish like this. Dodgers, Diamondbacks, Padres, Giants, and Rockies. Some have the Giants finishing in third place. So, Chris, do you think the Giants are a better team than the Padres right now?
No, but that doesn't mean they can't finish ahead of them. I mean, they can, right? The only team that, you know, can't finish ahead of anybody we know is the Rockies. And the Giants could certainly beat out the Padres in a perfect season. They could win 85 games and the Padres could win 84. But the reason that the Diamondbacks are picked ahead of the Padres is only one reason. And that is that the Diamondbacks signed Corbin Burnes. The Diamondbacks brought in Josh Naylor, which I actually think is a downgrade from losing Christian Walker. But the Diamondbacks spent and changed their roster some in the offseason, where the Padres didn't do anything dramatic. And people like to look at last season and then add to last season whatever happened in the offseason and make their predictions based on that. I think the Padres are just as good, if not better, than the Diamondbacks. I don't think the addition of Corbin Burnes has changed that necessarily. It could. Corbin Burnes could be that guy. But I think the better way to look at this division is Dodgers on top. You have to pick them. You'd be silly not to. But Diamondbacks, Padres are 50-50 to me for second place with the Giants and the Rockies. And the Giants could certainly be in the second or third discussion if, you know, Robbie Ray stays healthy all year and, you know, they get some production from some of these young outfielders that they're bringing up. You know, the Giants might be, they got a Willie Adames now to stabilize shortstop, but, you know.
What about old man Verlander?
Yeah. I should mention Verlander, but I wouldn't expect Verlander to do more than 12 wins this season, honestly. So,
yeah,
I don't think that changes the dynamic for the Giants that much.
I think that the Padres and the Giants are... I think the Padres are better, and the reason is they have more stars. And there's a lot of more question marks for the Giants. I mean, you got Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., Dylan Cease, Michael King, all these guys. We can name guys on the Giants. Logan Webb, you said Robbie Ray, Willie Adames. That's about it for me right now. I mean, the Giants have a bunch of guys that still need to prove themselves. The Padres have guys that we know what they can do. And this is Buster Posey's first year. I think that he's just looking to have a competitive season and then go a little bit harder in the paint next offseason. But I think the Padres can beat the Giants in the division for sure.
I don't think they can. I think they should. I really don't think there's much question. Like I said, Willie Adames is really the only major addition.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's a good addition, but doesn't change much for me.
Nope. All right, final question. Over the past 3 years, I've really loved throwing myself into Padres baseball. The community is amazing, and I love the people I've met along the way. The problem is, I don't think I know enough baseball to really talk about it with people, and I kind of just stay out of those conversations. I'm up first. How did you guys learn so much about baseball? I will be the first to admit that when I got this job, I thought I knew baseball. But I had no idea what baseball was actually about. I learned a lot in the last 7-8 years about baseball, and I learned from Tony and Chris. Those are my two guys that have taught me about baseball. My recommendation is just listen. Just listen to what people are saying. Remember that and just keep building. I feel like I've gotten better with baseball. And it's because I've listened to Tony and Chris over the years, and also, you know, Jesse Agler as well when you hear him on the radio. But just kind of, as much as you want, dip your toe into the baseball world and just listen to people. Chris, I know how you learned so much about baseball. You played it forever.
I played it. My dad used to go over, you know, sacrifice situations with me when I
really?
Was 4 years old. No, he didn't.
Oh, I was going to say, that's kind of awesome. I didn't know that.
No, he didn't. But I don't know. I think it's just, I mean, you're beginning, you know, whoever wrote this, you're beginning to have a love affair with the sport. And yeah, just enjoy it on the level that you're enjoying it. And as you do keep enjoying it, yeah, be a sponge. Pick up, you
sponge.
Know, what you can. Listen. We're lucky in San Diego, right? We have broadcasters like Jesse, like Don, Mudcat, Bob mm-hmm. Scanlon, Tony.
We forgot him.
Well, I'm not forgetting him, but I was thinking more of the TV people for a minute there.
Yeah.
I just, you know, look. They'll teach you a lot about the game, and you know, the more you watch it, the more you'll appreciate it. You know, it's funny, baseball, it's probably no different than other sports in this sense, but it seems like it is. You hear people that have watched baseball for their entire lives, 50 years old, whatever it is, and they've been watching the game, you know, consistently, and then something will happen during the course of a season that even they didn't see coming.
Mm, yeah.
Or something will happen in a game
mm-hmm.
that none of us have ever seen before.
Triple play to clinch a division?
Well, that,
or clinch a playoff spot,
plays.
I mean.
Yeah, right. That clinched the playoff spot. But yeah, you'll see it. Or you'll see a scoring play. You know, a ball will hit off the fence. Remember the one that hit off the fence and then the back of a guy's head went over the fence and they
yes.
called it a home run and then they changed it to a double and there was a big arc. That's what I'm talking about. Baseball can give you things you've never seen before. So even though you're hanging around people who probably act like they know everything, understand that they don't know everything either.
Yeah.
And the other thing I would say to anybody that is trying to learn anything, whether it's learning how to play the piano or learning about the history of rock music or learning about baseball, ask people who know to help you. Because aren't I right, Scraby? People that know stuff love to impart their wisdom on others.
Oh, of course.
Right?
Of course. You can't tell me. You can't count the number of times I've cornered people and told them all my baseball stuff.
Right. People love to hear that stuff from people they think know. So go to people who know and ask them, and then sit back and listen, and that's how you'll learn. It's the same way you learn everything.
All right.
Enjoy it.
Enjoy. Good Padres pen pals, everybody. We already did Chris versus the Feds, so we are, just for today, changing it up a little bit. When we get back, Gavin Sheets was interviewed by, or a couple questions asked by Sammy Levitt. We'll play that and more on Gwen and Chris 97.3 The Fan.